Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show is a collection of films with great music soundtracks. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you can enjoy this little collection we got here for you today. This first track, classic track from Booker T and the MGs, from Get Shorty, it's Green Onions. Yeah, great, from Get Shorty. John Travolta playing Chili Palmer goes to Hollywood to collect a debt. He's a bit of a villain, a gangster from Chicago. And in fact, Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman, Michael Keaton and Bruce Willis all turned down this part before John Travolta took it, was offered it. And he even turned it down, but Tarantino got on the phone and convinced him he should do it. The film was written by Elmore Leonard, a very, very famous writer. He's still alive, still doing it, and in his 80s. He's the godfather of pulp fiction writing in America. He's so far written over 50 movies, and his advice to writers is try to leave out the part that readers tend to skip, which is a great bit of advice. And Martin Amis met him once at a conference and said to him, "Your prose makes Raymond Chandler look clumsy." So some interesting things there about Elmore Leonard, the writer. He's a fabulous writer. People just cannot believe how accurate his dialogue is. He's one of the top dialogue writers. Yeah, and speaking of still out there doing it, Booker T and the MGs are still out there doing it, except for the drummer. Who has passed away, and the drummer they use now is the original drummer's nephew. So there you go. And here's Dean Martin.
is king. When boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pasta fazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. That's amore.
Bells will ring,
ting-a-ling-a-ling,
ting-a-ling-a-ling,
and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Vita Bella, Vita Bella. Hearts will play
tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella.
Lucky fella.
When the stars make you drool just like pasta fazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Amore,
that's amore.
You know, there's nothing wrong with a good bit of vintage cheese. And that is a bit of vintage cheese there. Fabulous. Dean Martin singing That's Amore. And it was used in the movie Moonstruck. And it was the music that they ended the film on, and it's very important what music you use at the end of a movie. It's the thing that people walk away having in their heads. And this was actually a romantic comedy with Cher and Nicolas Cage. Won 3 Oscars, including Cher for Best Actress, believe it or not. She'd just made 2 other movies and was very tired and almost didn't take the part. And at first, the studio wasn't that impressed with Nicolas Cage's screen test, but she threatened to quit if he was fired. So there you go. It never got, it almost didn't get made with that cast. And that was Dean Martin. And now we're going to go for something completely different. This is a movie about a music festival. And you probably may or may not have heard of Peter, Paul and Mary. Well, a sort of a folk trio, 2 blokes and a girl. And I never thought I'd be getting off on listening to Peter, Paul and Mary, but listening to this left me absolutely spellbound. It's the energy coming out of these 3 in this performance is amazing. It's the old Dylan classic Blowing in the Wind, and the movie is by Murray Lerner about the Newport Folk Festival, filmed over 3-year period in the 60s. Here you go.
Before they're allowed to be free.
many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
There you go, Peter, Paul and Mary. It's a fantastic movie. It's called just called Festival, very simply. And it's stuffed with fantastic performances. There's Bob Dylan in there playing his first electric show, the one that upset everyone when he went electric. People were threatening to commit suicide because they thought he'd ditched folk music. It was great, very interesting. And there are a lot of interviews with just ordinary people from the crowd, and they're delightful, what some of these people are saying. It was before the drug days, really, so it was people really, really into their music. So well worth seeing. Black and white movie. This next one is another movie about music, and it's about the Newport Jazz Festival in 1958. Now, this is called A Jazz on a Summer's Day, and it's an absolute masterpiece. And my favourite cut is this one from the soundtrack, and it's by Chico Hamilton, and it's called Blue Sands. Yeah, the makers of live concert footage, they need to sit down and study this movie, Jazz on a Summer's Day. It's absolutely beautiful. It just draws you in. There's hardly any dialogue. You could think it was a Robert Altman movie. And the director was a fashion photographer called Bert Stern, who went along to the festival just wanting to take some snapshots and ended up taking some cameras down there and making a whole movie. It's fantastic. And the lineup is remarkable. It's Thelonious Monk playing in the afternoon to about 50 people in a deserted stage area. And Chuck Berry looning across the stage playing Sweet Little 16 by himself with his electric guitar, with a clarinetist from another band jamming along with him. And it's absolutely bizarre. Very, very, very wonderful film. Well worth seeing. Jazz on a Summer's Day. And here we have Mr. Lou Reed.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie too, and then home. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep. Just a perfect day. Problems all left alone. Weekenders on our own. It's such fun. Just a perfect day. You made me forget myself. I thought I was someone else, someone good. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep me hanging.
Yeah, Perfect Day by Lou Reed from the movie Trainspotting. And they use this track when Renton, played by Ewan McGregor, when he's taken some heroin. And most of the cast became household names after this film. They'd made a few little movies, but that really this is the movie that that where they took off. And there were two soundtrack albums, and still some of the songs were left out, as is usual with that, in those situations. So there we have it. Perfect Day, Lou Reed from Trainspotting. Now we're going to go to a piece of classical music, and this is by Bach. Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 2, the second movement, from the Island of Dr. Moreau, and the version that this was in was the one in 1996, with Marlon Brando playing the evil doctor, Dr. Moreau. But I want to tell you something about the original, made in 1933. It was called The Island of Lost Souls, and it starred the fabulous Charles Laughton as Dr. Moreau, and it's about a bloke that performs vivisection on animals in profane experiments on his island, leading to a race of mutated abominations. And in the original, he had this marvellous line. He's sitting entertaining his dinner guests on the veranda of his large house on this tropical island. There's a blood-chilling cry coming from the jungle, And he turns to his guests and says, "My, the natives are restless tonight." And of course, the blood-chilling cries are coming from all these mutations that are living in the jungle. Burt Lancaster played the Doctor in the 77 version, and then Marlon Brando played him again in 1996. But going back, it was the original one that got the notoriety, being banned from Britain, and it was actually refused a certificate three times and didn't get one until 1958. That's 25 years after it had been made. The American band Devo took their Are We Not Men slogan from the lines of Bela Lugosi in the original film. And get this for a tagline for the original film. "Terror stalked the brush-choked island where men who were animals sought the girl who was all human." Fantastic stuff. Apparently, Charles Laughton based the appearance of the evil doctor on his dentist at the time. And it was his first starring role in a US picture. Okay, let's go on to something else that involving Marlon Brando. And Hunter S. Thompson. I don't know if you know the connection between those two. Anyway, here's a bit of Bob Dylan to give you another clue.
Oh, the rag man draws circles up and down the block. I'd ask him what the matter was, but I know that he don't talk. And the ladies treat me kindly, and they furnish me with tape. But deep inside my heart, I know I can't escape. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Well, Shakespeare, he's in the alley with his pointed shoes and his bells, speaking to some French girl who says she knows me well. And I would send a message to find out if she's talked, but the post office has been stolen and the mailbox is locked. Mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine. And I said, oh, I didn't know that, but then again, there's only one I've met, and he just smoked my eyelids and punched my cigarette. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Grandpa died last week, and now he's buried in the rocks. But everybody still talks about how badly they were shocked. But me, I expected it to happen. I knew he'd lost control when I speed built a fire on Main Street and shot it full of holes. Mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the senator came down here showing everyone his gun, handing out free tickets to the wedding of his son. And me, I nearly got busted, and wouldn't it be my luck to get caught without a ticket and be discovered beneath the truck. Oh, mama, Is this really the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the tea preacher looked so baffled when I asked him why he dressed with 20 pounds of headlines stapled to his chest. But he cursed me when I proved to him. Then I whispered and said, not even you can hide. You see, you're just like me. I hope you're satisfied. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the Rain Man gave me two cures. Then he said, jump right in. The one was Texas medicine. The other was just railroad gin. And like a fool, I mixed them. And it strangled up my mind. And now people just get uglier. And I have no sense of time. Mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. When Ruthie says, come see her in her honky-tonk lagoon, where I can watch her waltz for free neath her Panamanian moon. And I say, oh, come on now, you know about my debutante. And she says, your debutante just knows what you need, but I know what you want. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the bricks lay on Grand Street where the neon madmen climb. They all fall there so perfectly. It all seems so well timed. And here I sit so patiently, waiting to find out what price you have to pay to get out of going through all these things twice. Mama, is this really the end? To be stuck here inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Okay, that was Bob Dylan playing Stuck Inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again from the film Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the book by Hunter S. Thompson. And the reason the connection is with Marlon Brando is that Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando were due to appear in it first, and then Dan Aykroyd and Belushi. This was earlier tries to get it filmed. And then finally it ended up being Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro. Scorsese had tried to make it. Oliver Stone had tried to make it, but they found it was impossible to make. And then Hunter S. Thompson met Johnny Depp and was convinced that he was the only one who could play him in the movie. So the name Alex Cox, you may remember, he was the director of Repo Man. He was hired to direct the film, but he fell out with Hunter S. Thompson. And Terry Gilliam from the Monty Python team was brought in to take over, and he wrote a new script for the movie in 10 days. It's a great soundtrack. Johnny Depp actually used pieces of clothing that belonged to Hunter S. Thompson in the film, his Hawaiian shirts, a patchwork jacket, his even his cigarette filter. And for 4 months, he moved, before the filming started, he moved into the basement of Hunter S. Thompson's house and drove his actual car around. He really started living to be just like him. So, and this brings me on to another set of stories about another film involving Hunter S. Thompson. And the film was called Where the Buffalo Roam, and it was made before Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. And here's a track from the soundtrack to that, which was also excellent. And this is called Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations.
The 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember. Yes, I will, 'cause there was a day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him, never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Oh, Papa was a rolling stone, my son, yeah. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. To say that Papa never worked a day in his life.
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just hung her head and said,
Papa
was a rolling stone.
Yeah, The Temptations. Papa Was a Rolling Stone from Where the Buffalo Roam, which was made before Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas in 1980, in fact. And Bill Murray played Huntress Thompson in that movie. And when he heard that Fear and Loathing was being made, he rang Johnny Depp on the set and warned him not to get too wrapped up in his portrayal of Huntress Thompson, because apparently Bill Murray had gone over the top and completely adopted Thompson's character way after finishing the film. And he was turning up at Saturday Night Live dressed as him, and everyone said that he just assumed his personality. So he rang him to warn him not to get too involved. And this second film was just as chaotic as Fear and Loathing was. The film was directed by one of the producers called Art Linson, who took a crash course in directing. And Murray and Thompson engaged in one-upmanship whilst they were making the movie. Huntress Thompson tied Bill Murray to a chair and threw him in the swimming pool at one stage, almost drowning him. This movie was also panned by the critics, but they both got great killer soundtracks. And now I'm going to play you something by Miles Davis. Yeah, that's Miles Davis playing the soundtrack to Lift to the Scaffold. It was Louis Malle's first movie. He was only 24 when he made it. Amazing. It was sort of a French film noir. And that soundtrack, it sounds sort of like it was recorded late one night, and that's exactly what happened. It was recorded in one night, in 6 hours, by Miles Davis and his collection of French collection of players, and I think Louis Malle was there with Jean Moreau, the leading lady, and they sipped champagne while Malle recorded the music. Fantastic. Jean Moreau, she caused a sensation in this movie because Louis Malle insisted that she be filmed with hardly any makeup on, and she'd never been filmed like that before, and she's walking down the Champs-Élysées with no makeup on. In one of the scenes, famous scenes, and the lab technicians at first refused to process the film because they were so outraged, because she'd never been seen like this before. But you know, in the end, it became famous for the sincerity of she was so real in it. And Louis Malle, quite interestingly, was the cameraman with Jacques Cousteau, The Underwater World of Jacques Cousteau, before he started directing features. There's another one of those ridiculous, useless bits of information that that geeks like me are interested in. And Marcel Romano, you may remember I mentioned him in the previous program. He took part in the supervised the recordings for Les Liaisons Dangereuses with Art Blakey. Well, here he was again, supervising these, probably sipping a bit of that champagne as well, no doubt. And now I'm going to play you a bit of, believe it or not, Cliff Richard.
I was born in the heart of a city, that I'll always adore. Though it's not much to see, it's like heaven to me, the shrine on the second floor. There's a beautiful gray-haired Madonna who once taught me what life had in store. And I lift up mine eyes to that saint in disguise in the shrine on the second floor. Whenever my troubles seem too much to bear, I look for the answer and then I look up and see that light shining there, and everything turns out bright again. When I'm old and I find I'm getting lonely, I'll return to my heaven once more. I'll remember the face of that lady of grace on the shrine on the second floor. When I'm old and I find I'm getting lonely, I'll return to my heaven once more. I'll remember the face of that lady of grace on the shrine on the second floor.
Yeah, The Shrine on the Second Floor by Cliff Richard, from a movie that Cliff was in called Espresso Bongo. It was his second movie. His first one was called Serious Charge, and they were both pretty good. This one had Lawrence Harvey starring in it. And, of course, Cliff was in it as well. And the movie was written by Wolf Mankiewicz, who actually introduced Cubby Broccoli to Harry Saltzman. You can imagine him saying, "Cubby, this is Harry. Harry, this is Cubby. You're both going to form a very, very important partnership, and you're going to go on to create the Bond franchise." Well, what an amazing thing to be able to be party to. So Mankiewicz ended up writing the screenplay for Dr. No, the first Bond movie, but he thought it was going to be a huge flop, so he asked for his name to be removed from the credits. And after its success, it was impossible to put his name back in, so he made a big slip there. And oddly enough, it's strange that the man behind the screenplay for Dr. No, he was actually himself suspected of being a spy. He was MI5 followed him around for 10 years because his parents were Russian. And of course, if your parents are Russian, you're bound to be a spy, aren't you? And the director, Val Guest, made his directorial debut for the Ministry of Information. He made a short film about the dangers of sneezing. And here to tell us about the dangers of eating peaches are the Stranglers.
Strolling along, minding my own business. a girl and a half. She's got me going up and down. She's got me going up and down. Walking on the beaches, looking at the peaches. Well, I got the notion, girl, that you got some suntan lotion in that bottle of yours. Spread it all over my peeling skin, baby. That feels real good. All the skirt, lapping up the sun. Lap me up. Why don't you come on and lap me up? Walking on the beaches, looking at the beaches. Well, there goes another one just lying down on the sand dunes. I better go take a swim and see if I can cool down a little bit. 'Cause you and me, woman, we got a lot of things on our minds. You know what I mean? Walking on the beaches, looking at the beaches. Well, you just take a look over there. For women, that's what I preach, preacher man. Walking on the beaches, looking at the beaches. Oh shit, there goes the charabang. Looks like I'm gonna be stuck here the whole summer. Well, what a bummer. I can think of a lot worse places to be. Like down in the street, or down in the sewer, or even on the end of a skewer.
Yeah, apart from being used on Floyd's cookery programs, the whole of the opening sequence of Sexy Beast was cut to this song. It's quite remarkable. And I heard that the lead singer of the band went to see the movie and didn't even know the song was in it, so he almost fell off his chair. It was Jonathan Glazer's debut feature. It's been a huge success. And if you're watching it, spot the stand-in for Sir Ben Kingsley whilst watching the film, because there was one and I know him.